Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. That was a great good morning. I appreciate that. Bear with me a second here, and let me get... I'm going to cheat. I'm going to use my computer. It's bigger print that I don't have to put my glasses on and off. I'm appreciative of the opportunity to stand up here in front of you this morning you know, I really feel like there's really nothing I have to add, or there's nothing that I have to say after the blessing of a baby. I'm truly, to a certain extent, I'm giddy. I wish I could just hold on to Cooper and just, I told Courtney when we were done there that Michelle calls me a baby hog, and so I told Courtney that I'd get my opportunity to hold him sometime and just stare in his face. On February 12th, so everybody knows today, what's the date today? The 18th on February 12th, so that was Monday or Tuesday this week, right? The little Bible app I use and that I like to read, the verse of the day was Colossians, the third chapter, the 12th verse. And I'm going to read that, so if you want to turn with me there, you can, or sometimes I talk too fast, and so you're sure to hear me read it, but follow along, because there's some things that I'm going to encourage you to read rather than me read all of the verses this morning. So on February 12th, the app in my phone, it was Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And I read that verse, and I didn't think about it immediately. I kind of got going and running, and like I normally do. And as I was driving that morning, I was thinking about that verse, and my mind was drawn towards, you know, probably some of the other words that holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. And then my mind just kind of stopped, and I thought about the word long-suffering. Not a word that you think about probably a lot, not a word that you probably have spent a ton of time thinking about, but I'm going to encourage us this morning to think about the word long-suffering. So I'm going to read the verses that lead up to 12 and read through 12. So I'm going to go back to the 8th verse. I'm going to start there. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, I won't say it right, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ in all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God but the Father and the Father by him. So I thought about that word long-suffering, and my mind had been on a different scripture, and as I was thinking about for this morning, my mind was drawn towards a different scripture. But this verse came up, and it kind of made me start thinking about this long suffering, and it fit, and it really kind of completed the thought for me. Does anybody know what the definition of long suffering is? This is the interactive part. You don't have to be afraid. Suffer a long time? Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought for a minute that I could have my brother Gary and my Aunt Michelle come up and their comments there at the end of Sunday school. it always amazes me how really fit in with where my thoughts were and what I feel led to bring this morning. I looked up the definition, and long-suffering was exactly like our brother said. You know, it's suffering long. It's understanding and recognizing that, you know, I think sometimes that my wife is long-suffering for putting up with me. I know my mom has been very long-suffering for putting up with my dad. And there's a lot of truth in that. I think we talked about it in Psalms in Sunday school. But I think about that verse and recognizing how sometimes even my own self, I'm not long-suffering. And recognize that our responsibility as Christians, our responsibilities as brothers and sisters. And I'm often thought, and as I kind of thought about that, you know, if you would Google search headlines for February 12th, right? I'm not even to the point where we talk about, and it's been mentioned a couple times, the school shooting that happened this week. But you think about just if you were to go in and look at the headlines for February 12th, crazy things, right? Bad things that are going on. And we look in the headlines and we see those things and we recognize, you know, that there are reasons to be upset. I thought about as our little brother Cooper, as I was thinking about the blessing and that's what provided, my mind was drawn towards, I remember, September 11th when the Twin Towers were hit. And I remember as a father, I was on my way to work, and I had a meeting up probably a couple hours away from where we lived. And I stopped in a gas station to get a cup of coffee, and I remember calling Michelle when I heard about it. And all I wanted to do was to go get my boys and just hold them. Right? We were living in Des Moines, Iowa, in the middle of nowhere. Nothing was going to happen in Des Moines, Iowa that day. But as a father, as a parent, my desire was to go and get my kids and hold them. Turn with me to Mosiah, the 11th chapter. And I'm going to kind of hop around a little bit in Mosiah, the 11th chapter. And you know, what I want us to think about is that our responsibility today, what I'm kind of challenging our thought, is in and around this long-suffering idea. Is our responsibility to be long-suffering, to be patient. You know, I had a vehicle stolen yesterday. Crazy deal. Somebody pulled up to one of our businesses. They jumped in. Apparently we left keys in a truck. Somebody jumped in one of our trucks. They took off. And they took off across the it was from Marshall, Missouri, where they started. They ended up near Chillicothe. You know, and my initial thought when I was in a meeting all day yesterday and people were texting me saying, hey, we had a truck stolen. I went on my computer. I started to track them because we can track them by GPS. And I was thinking, you know, man, I hope somebody gets that guy. It's not long suffering. My own fault and my own mistake and my own weakness. You know, and immediately as it started to hit me and as I started to think about it, I started to pray for that guy in that truck. Story was, the guy stole a car up near Carrollton, Missouri yesterday. He stole a car from a business, drove it down to our store in Marshall, jumped in our truck, took off in our truck, and the guy was from St. Louis. The guy, whatever the problems are, I don't know what's going on with this guy yet, but immediately my mind started to think, you know, if I'm to be the light, if as brothers and sisters, as Christians, as those who have been touched and we understand the word of God, we have a responsibility to be the light. Turn with me to Mosiah, the 11th chapter. I'm going to start at the 159th verse. Now the sons of Mosiah were numbered among the unbelievers, and also one of the sons of Alma was numbered among them, he being called Alma after his father. Nevertheless, he became a very wicked man and an idolatrous man. And I'm just going to hit a couple highlights in a few verses. And he became a great hinderment to the prosperity of the church of God. He was going about to destroy the church of God. An angel appeared unto him. I'm just skipping around here. Follow me. Nevertheless, he cried again, saying, Alma, arise and stand forth. Why persecuteth thou the church of God? For said he, I have repented of my sins and have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. Okay, let me tell you the story. So the story of Alma, the son of Alma, a young man. Everybody knows the story. It's an awesome story to tell to kids. And as you learn and understand the lesson within Mosiah that is being taught at this point, here is a young man, Alma, who was out causing all kinds of problems, leading people away from the church, leading people away from following after God, creating havoc, no differently than this guy yesterday when he jumped in our truck and he stole our truck and he drove and he was running people off the road. We were getting calls from people saying, hey, you've got a guy in your truck that's just run me off the road, causing havoc. And here was this guy, and here was this Alma, and he was there to destroy the church. Or he was there to destroy the peace. And he was there, and he was going to make people mad. And absolutely, you know, the lesson is, as we understand, who was driving Alma to do that? It was his own will, absolutely. It was the push and the prod, and no doubt that Satan had a hand in not having that long-suffering. And not having that understanding. But then in the story, and it continues on, and it says how Alma changes. He changes, right? Everybody understands the story and knows what happens to Alma. There was a change. Jump down to the 200th verse. And now it came to pass that Alma began from this time forward to teach the people and those which were with Alma at the time. The angel appeared unto them, traveling round about through all the land, publishing to all the people the things which they had heard and seen, and preaching the word of God in much tribulation, being greatly persecuted by those which were unbelievers, being smitten by many of them. But notwithstanding all this, they did impart much consolation to the church, confirming their faith and exhorting them with long suffering and much travail to keep the commandments of God. You know, I asked you what the word long-suffering means, and I believe, and as I was kind of reading about it and studying about it, you know, it says to be long-suffering then is to have, is to be long and temper, literally long-tempered. To be long-suffering then is to have self-resistant when one is stirred to anger. A long-suffering person does not immediately retaliate or punish. Rather, he has a long fuse and potentially forbears. So I ask the question, as brothers and sisters, as humans that make mistakes, how's our fuse today? How's our fuse? You know, are we setting the example for others as we interact, as we think about our kids and the things that our kids do to drive us crazy? How's our fuse? You know, I think we're called, and I don't think we're called, I know we're called. We're called to be a light. I want to jump into Acts, the 10th chapter. And I think you'll understand as I kind of get into this why this ties into that very first scripture that I read, that first one in the very beginning, Colossians, the 3rd chapter, the 12th verse. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. You know, I thought about the school shooting that happened this week, and I don't want to highlight that. I want to call out that event. There's events that happen in the world around us, and we recognize that there are bad things. We were sitting, and I was sitting in a conference room, and as we were going through some stuff this week, I remember, you know, multiple times the conversation would come up about this incident, and then inevitably the conversation would get into, well, you know, conceal and carry, or you get into gun laws, and you get into all these things, and again, I think, you know, I have to recognize I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to have comments in and around any of those things. But recognize where our ultimate protection is and has to be. You know, I heard a commentary that was talking as I listened to this podcast pretty regularly, you know, and he was talking about, you know, when we have things in our life, when we have things that are a problem, you've probably heard me say this before, we don't have financial problems, we don't have, you know, Whatever these things may be, we have spiritual problems. Recognize in our nation, we have spiritual problems. But I cannot look at that and I cannot say, oh man, what a horrible place we are in. Because we have to look up and we have to recognize the awesomeness of God. We have to recognize that we get to see the glory. We get to see the protection. We get to see his robe of protection that is encircled about us. Do accidents happen? Do things happen? Absolutely. But recognize, don't let that anger well up in you and to do something that is absolutely wrong. Recognize the responsibility that we are called to have is this long-suffering. We're going to meet people that are different than us. We're going to meet people, and my hope is that church, this church continues to fill up with who as a human, who is our natural reaction, boy, that's an odd-looking guy. Christ has the blinders on, and he doesn't see the oddness and the weirdness of each one of us. He sees his creation. And do we see that same creation? And in Acts, the 10th chapter, I think to me it's probably one of the coolest stories and the lessons of that very thing. And I'm not a good historian of understanding, but I want you to follow me in the 10th chapter of Acts, and I'm going to encourage everyone, I'm not going to read all of it, but I would encourage you to finish the chapter of 10th chapter of Acts, because it's an awesome story. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So understand the story. I know I've preached up here before, and I've preached out of Acts, I feel like I'm learning a ton as I go through Acts and really go through the different chapters. But this lesson, understand what's going on in this time and in this period in Acts. You know, this Cornelius is a man who is not typically, I'm jumping around here, sorry. Simon, Peter. So Peter is what? What nationality? What background is he from? He's a Jew. And Cornelius, what is he? What's that? A Roman. Do Romans and Jews get along really well? No. You know, you go into that country even today, and there is still, you know, you go through Jerusalem today, and you walk, and there's different quarters, and these people, even from back in this time to even to this time, they don't get along. They have their different areas, and they have their differences. So understanding the importance of what I'm reading from the verse, from the first verse through the eighth verse, Cornelius, a Roman who is not regularly mixing with Jews, is called to go do what? He's to go and send his men to go get this Jew, to go connect with him and to go preach and do something. I'm jumping ahead, right? But he's called to go to someone who he doesn't mix with. That's like telling us right now today, you know, Jeff, I want you to go and you're going to go to a Muslim country, a Muslim nation, and you're going to go meet this person. What do you think my natural reaction? I can tell you what my natural reaction. I'm a chicken. Right? Because what I'm thinking of is I'm thinking the absolute worst. let alone just the fear of what can happen because they're our enemy, let alone what happens when we see someone odd that walks in our door. Or we see somebody walking around our neighborhood. Or we see somebody that isn't like us. Continue on at the ninth verse. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at all four corners and let down to the earth. Remember that verse. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called, and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. You know, highlight that and underline that. You know, I think all too often, and I know it's even in my own self, you know, we have these built-in prejudices of people. Think about Peter as he is there, you know, he goes up on the roof. And the first time I read this, Acts 10, I thought, why does it matter that he's hungry? But then it continues on. And it says why he's hungry. And he goes up and he's told by God in this dream, in this vision, he's told to kill these unclean animals and to eat. I think this is an awesome story. And I think this is an awesome reminder for each of us. You know, and as it continues on, you know, we have these prejudices. We recognize that people that may not look like me, then they must be something wrong. So, I want us to think a little bit about this long suffering, and I want us to think a little bit about these verses that I read. And I typed out some notes because I knew that I wouldn't remember to say this appropriately. But as I thought about these verses, these were the things that kind of came to my mind. You know, our natural being is that we are prejudiced. You know, I think about the. A little guy like Cooper, and as he comes up in his life, you know, today he knows no prejudice. Right? I can look down here upon my brother Sean, and Sean, you know, Sean challenges me a lot of times. Right? But I look at him, and he's just a different guy. Right? He's different than me. He's got a beard, and I don't have that beard. Right? He thinks differently. He may do things differently. But I love him. I love my brother because, you know, there's days when that seems like sometimes that I need it the most. I get this call, and he tells me, he says, you know, I'll ask him, Sean, what's the good word today? And the last time we had the conversation, he talked about it wasn't even about the using the Lord's name in vain, but it was in vain. You know, understanding the disgust and the lack of purity in vain. We're all prone to this prejudice and this judgment and this lack of long-suffering. God is gracious to gently break us of this prejudice so that he can work through us. You know, I think about my kids, and I remember as Braden one time. He was a little guy, and we were driving down the road, and I remember asking Braden. We were heading over to a concert over. We were living in Moline, Illinois, and we were heading over a couple hours away from Moline, and I remember Braden had a solo, and he was just a little tiny guy at the time, and this was a Christmas concert. And I said, Braden, are you nervous? And he was sitting in the back seat, and with just this innocent voice, well, no, am I supposed to be? You know, I thought about how awful is it? You know, I'm a horrible dad because I just, you know, I probably put this thought in his mind. You know, God hasn't put that thought in Cooper's mind. How awesome is that? But recognize through our humanness, through our imperfections, through our own flaws, we have prejudice. We look at people differently. And I would challenge each of us to recognize that, recognize our weakness. The next point is God's purpose is to spread the gospel through us so that he will be glorified among the nations. You know, I was drawn to that verse, and I had it in here, and I won't find it right away, but it's that, you know, we are that light. What light are we shining? When God confronts our prejudice, we must yield in obedience to him. We went out with some friends last night, and I made a comment. I was showing them my son Trent sent me the article on our truck being stolen, and I was showing it to our friends, and I said, you know, I was just, you know, there was a part of me that I don't know that I wanted good for that guy. And it kind of hit me as I was standing there, and I was kind of reflecting on that comment, and you know, I apologize for making that comment. When we yield to the Lord and put to death our prejudice, he will use us mightily in his service. You know, and I feel that calling for each of us is we have that responsibility to be that light. As we drive down the road, as we meet people in our lives, as we talk to our neighbors, as we talk to people, you know, do they see the light of Christ in us? And so my encouragement for each one of you, I hope that you'll continue to read the 10th chapter of Acts. I think it's an awesome chapter. Recognize if you've got a study Bible, you know, there it'll kind of help give you some of the story of what's going on. But recognize, you know, is that ultimately our nothingness, that we are absolutely nothing without Christ in our life. And that our responsibility is to be that light. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. You know, brothers and sisters, if I ever do anything to offend you, my encouragement would be is please come and talk to me. Send me a text. Send me an email. And my challenge for each of us is that if we're not long-suffering with each other, how do we become long-suffering with those that the Lord is going to put in front of us or that we're going to put in front of them? That is my prayer today. Thank you.